Morning, church, and a very happy Lunar New Year to all of you. Good to see all of you back, you know, and actually I can't see all of you because you are blending so well into your seats, you know. Everyone's wearing red color. But we are so glad to have you if you are joining us for the very first time. My name is Daniel, and we welcome you to Church of Our Savior. You know, this is such a wonderful place to be, and I know that this is a special weekend because there are only 4 long weekends in 2018, right? And many people, they are traveling and doing everything. That's why I'm so glad to see all of you. You know, you put God first and you came to church anyway. Amen? So turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad to see you here. Okay, now before I get into the sermon today, you know, I got something special. You know, last week I said something about this mezuzah, right? So I want you to look at this verse on the screen here, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Now you should know this verse very well, alright? And it says, Hear, O Israel, and in Hebrew the word hear is Shema. So very often you hear this prayer known as the Shema, right? If you go to Israel today, you see the people all at the Western Wall, what sometimes known as the Wailing Wall, they'll be standing there and they're praying, Shema, O Israel, Hear, O Israel. These are words that Moses gave to the people. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Of course, this is the greatest commandment of all. Deuteronomy 6:6, it continues and says, And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Everyone say heart. Okay, you should keep this in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Say children. Okay, so if you have children, make sure they know this. And you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as signs on your hand, and there shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So if you were to go to Israel today, and you visited the place, in fact, in the hotels, very often you find along the doorposts of the house, you see something just like that in the picture. That's a little, what seems to be a object, right, that they will attach, usually slightly slanted on the door. This is what they call a mezuzah, right? And what makes this object relevant is because it's actually a container. And inside of that object actually is a scroll of scripture. Very often, Deuteronomy 6:5, they'll just put it in that scroll, right? Now, the purpose of this thing is so that you are reminding yourself always. Why do we need reminder? Well, because we forget, right? I mean, humans, do we forget? You forget, right? Actually, my daughter is here today, you know. She missed a flight on the way back. But that's not because she forgot. She overslept, right? But I think in our lives, very often, So my angpao went to the airport, went to the airline. So, you know, I think for all of us in our lives, we know as human beings, from time to time, we'll start to slide back a little bit. What they do is they put this so that you're constantly reminding yourself. Every time you go out the door, they will touch the thing, right? Just like that in the picture. They'll touch the thing and they're reminding yourself, oh yeah, I'm a child of God, right? I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I must do the things that build the kingdom of God. So this is what that whole mezuzah is about. So I say I'll give you all mezuzah. What I mean is not you all. I give you one mezuzah. And so I got one mezuzah here, right? My wife packed it nicely in this ang pao here. Who would like to have this mezuzah? So I'm trying to see whose hand came up first. I think I saw Danny. Is it Danny? Not Danny. Gentleman's here. No, it'd be, that's right. You, pointing yourself, that one. Yes. Okay, so I got to give to some guys because the other two service, the woman got it. So Danny, right? Here you go. Okay, that's the mezuzah attached to your door, right? You can use, you don't have to screw it in, you can use a double-sided tape also, right? So, the rest of you, if you want mezuzah, go to Israel, okay? So, we're going to continue. First of all, this is the year of the dog, okay? This is the year of the dog. Next year is the year of the pig, so it won't be the year of the dog for another 12 years, right? So, you know, in our Chinese calendar, they kind of divide up the year cycles into a cycle of 12 years, right? And with every year, there's some animal, some sort of zodiac animal. Now, we don't really go into it. This is a part of our tradition. But in any case, it is the year of the dog, and if you are born in the year of the dog, you're either 48 years old or 60 years old, right? So don't tell anyone what year you are born in. I thought I'd take this opportunity, because it is, you know, part of our festive celebration, to talk a little bit about what the Bible has to say about dogs, especially in the book of Joshua. Since we've been spending so many weeks in the book of Joshua, I thought I'd take one more week in the book of Joshua to talk about dogs, okay? Now, to be sure, dogs are not well regarded in biblical times, in the Middle East in particular. So today, if you go up north to Malaysia, you find that, you know, they have a problem with dogs, right? Even during the celebration, you see in the news, all these little embarrassments that they have about, you know, how they deal with dogs. Generally, the Middle Easterners don't look upon dogs very well. They're regarded as quite lowly, right? And today, if someone to call you a dog, you feel quite insulted. It's a derogatory term. You don't praise someone by, oh, what a dog you are. You know, you don't do that, right? So it's not something that, come to think of, you also won't call them any pig or any other animal, right? So Chinese, however, we like dogs. Chinese, we see a dog, that's a good dish, you know. So as Chinese, we everything's a good dish, right? Okay, but back to the Bible. The Bible doesn't have a lot of good things to say about dogs. As a matter of fact, in the book of Samuel, the Philistines were telling David, am I a dog? It's like a, you know, are you insulting me? So a dog will be considered an insult, right? Because it's like someone very lowly. In some cases, in the book of Deuteronomy, dogs are a euphemism for male prostitutes. So there's a command that says you shall not bring the proceeds of a dog, the price of a dog, into the house of God, which is to say you should not take the earnings from a male prostitute in the house of God, right? You should not practice these kind of things because it's idolatry, and of course it's something that is against God's laws. But all of these things tell us that, you know, actually dogs are not well regarded in the Bible. The only time that the Bible comes close to saying something nice about dogs is actually in Gideon. You see, Gideon goes to war with 10,000 old soldiers, right? And God says, that's too many. Right? We've got to reduce this. So he has all these men go drink water, and they will observe. The men who drink water as a dog laps water is the ones that get picked, you see. So finally, 300 men were picked, and God will choose these 300 men who drank water like a dog to go to war. And actually, that's not even a compliment, because God was choosing the worst of the worst, the least of the least, the people who are like dogs, in order to show his strength, right? So even there is not something good. So what are we going to possibly say about dogs in the dog year of the dog, you know, in the book of Joshua anyway? Well, it turns out, right, that the Hebrew word for dogs is kelev, or kelevim, right? And if you like, the anglicized pronunciation of dog is kelev. Did you know kelev means dog, right? And all the parents who name their kids Caleb suddenly, oh, really? Right. Or you're about to name your kid Caleb. Truth is, actually, I really like the name Caleb, you know. If we had a son, then we would have called our son Caleb, you know, because my wife is Eileen, my daughter is Bethany, right? I'm Daniel. So actually, we've got A, B, and D. We are missing a C there. So we put a Caleb there. Now, Caleb actually means dog in the Bible. So today, we want, you know, I guess part of our celebration of this year of the dog, we'll look at the life of Caleb in the Bible. In the book of Joshua in particular, this top dog, if you like, Caleb, and see what we can learn. Now, if you look in the Bible really carefully, you find that about three or so Calebs. Not many, okay? About three, maybe two Calebs. It's not very clear which is which sometimes. But the one that we're interested in this morning is Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite from the tribe of Judah. That's his full title. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite from the tribe of Judah, from Numbers chapter 13, verse 6. Right? He has a younger brother, by the way. We know that. His name is Kenaz. And he has a nephew by the name of Othniel, who became a judge in Israel. Right? So, let's begin at the top. Who are these Kenizzites, anyway? Okay? I mean, the Bible got a lot of ites, you know. You got the Kenizzites, the Perizzites. Not parasites, the Perizzites. They're actually a group of people. Yeah, and some people say mosquito bites also. Anyway, you know, it turns out that these Kenizzites, they were not even Israelites to start with. The Kenizzites were actually descendants of Esau. You can read this for yourself in Genesis chapter 15. There's a group of people called Kenizzites who descended from Esau. They live in the southern part of Israel. They were not even part of the Israelites. But how then did they become the part of the tribe of Judah? That must mean that sometime, either when they were in Egypt or when they came out from Egypt, that these Kenizzites, or Jephunneh, or someone before Jephunneh, they associated themselves, they joined themselves with the Israelites, particularly with the tribe of Judah, and they joined with them as they traveled to the promised land. They joined with them in the fight. They threw in their lot with the Israelites. They fought with them, and as a result, they shared the inheritance with them. You remember last week I was saying this thing, right? If you fight for the kingdom, you will have a share of the kingdom, right? You will be part of the, you receive part of the inheritance if you fight for them. So these guys, they joined. These Kenizzites, they were outsiders, but somehow they joined. And that really reminds us that, you know, in God's kingdom, there's always room for outsiders. You remember when Jesus was traveling in, this is Matthew, Mark chapter 7, he was traveling up to the north, the Gentile area of Tyre and Sidon. And there, he was trying to do some ministry, and this lady comes up asking for a favor. And Jesus says, I've come for the lost sheep of Israel. Right? I've come for Israel. But this lady, she counters Jesus. She says that, even the little dogs, right, get to eat the crumbs under the table. And Jesus was impressed because she was willing to associate herself. And because of that, her pressing in, she received the inheritance. That alone now is something for all of us to think. You know, it's important for you to press in to the inheritance God has given you. Don't just, I align my sword now. Don't be that kind of like, well, whatever will be, will be. Don't be like this. You know what I mean? If you have an inheritance, insist on it. Even if you don't, join yourself to it. Amen? Amen. And women also. Okay, so, these Kenizzites, they were outsiders. And Caleb was a Kenizzite. And yet, this Kenizzite, Caleb, ended up becoming the representative of Judah. Because you see, when Moses asked for spies to be sent into the promised land, right? He asked for how many spies? Anyone know? 12 spies, right? No, you get the right answer, I'll give you the box. And okay, never mind. You know, 12 spies, one from each tribe. And specifically, they were to get a representative from each tribe to go and scout out the land, to spy on the land. And of all the people they could have picked out of the tribe of Judah, which is a very big tribe, of all the people they could have picked, they picked Caleb. Right? I mean, of all the people, why Caleb? But somehow, Caleb, the Kenizzite, son of Jephunneh, was the one who was picked. And in fact, we know there were 11 other spies. One of them was Joshua, right? By the way, Joshua's original name was actually Hosea. That was his name, Hosea. Hoshea means save. But Moses renamed him, told him his name was Yehovah Hoshea or Yehoshua, right? Joshua, which means Jehovah saves. And Yehoshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus, right? Joshua means Jesus. So anyway, they had these people, and Moses basically said, okay, I want one man from each tribe. Send me a man, but not just any man. He was going to be a prince, a chief, a leader among his people. So, we know from that Caleb must have been quite an exceptional fellow. He wasn't just your regular bum down the road, right? He was a man who had a heart, who did stuff, who led the people, and because of that, he ended up representing Judah. I mean, think about this for a second. An outsider, a Kenizzite, ends up representing the tribe of Judah. He must have been quite an exceptional man. Now, they go out, they bring back a terrible report. 10 of them bring back a terrible, oh, the land is fine and all that, but their focus was on the giants of the land. Their focus was on the obstructions, the obstacles. The focus was on the adversity of the land. So they tend to look at all these problems, oh, and then they say, we are like grasshoppers in our own eyes, right? 10 of them brought this. But Joshua and Caleb in particular, they insisted, this is a very good land. So on this slide, we have Numbers chapter 14. This is what they said to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out on is an exceedingly good land. Now the word exceedingly good in Hebrew is a very, very good land. Not just one very, two verys, right? The land is very, very. Okay, not so very, very what? It just means it's very, very good. And did you know that God's inheritance for us is very good? Amen? And God has a very good year for you. Do you believe that? 2018 is a good year, right? That's why we say Happy New Year, not Sad New Year. So, you know, we believe God has something very good for all of us. And the Lord, if He delights in us, will bring us into the land and give it to us. But there are two conditions. The land flowing with milk and honey. First, do not rebel against the Lord. Do not disobey the Lord. Okay? So turn to your neighbor and say, do not disobey. Okay? The second condition is, do not fear the people of the land, for they are our bread, meaning we're going to eat them. Okay? Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So the second condition, turn to your other neighbor and say, do not fear them. Okay, do you know that other than obeying God, we are supposed to be courageous people? Right? In Revelation chapter 28, it tells us that cowards will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Right? So, don't be a coward. Be someone courageous. Right? Do not fear. Do not turn to the left or to the right. But that was exactly what happened. You see, the children of Israel, they look at all these things and they begin to waver. They begin to fear. They begin to turn from the left and to the right. And as a result of that, the consequence was, their decision making was dominated by fear rather than by faith. And they were barred from entering the promised land. Of that entire generation, only two guys made it. They were Joshua and there was Caleb the dog. right? Caleb, the top dog. They made it into a land because of this thing. And this is the reason why, well, this is how God speak of Caleb. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. God said to Moses concerning Caleb, "But my servant, Caleb," which means the dog, right? "Because he has a different spirit, and he has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he went, and his descendants will inherit it." The rest are not going to inherit it. This guy is going to inherit it because he has a different spirit. In what way is his spirit different? Well, in English, it's not so clear. But if you read this in Hebrew, it actually, the word for different is acheret. And the word that comes after that, followed, right, is achari. So you know, there's poetry going on in Hebrew. If you read this in Hebrew, it's very obvious that the reason he's different is because he followed. So today, the first thing I'll tell you is that Caleb had a different spirit, and that was because he had the followership, right? This is his different. Caleb knew how to follow God. Many people don't know how to follow God, right? But Caleb, of all the group of people, Caleb and perhaps Joshua. Joshua, I think, was the diplomatic guy. He's the one who sit down, people discuss. Caleb was the guy, "No, let's just go." He had this kind of, you know, way of following God. A very can-do spirit. A very positive attitude towards following God. And so Caleb tells the people in Numbers chapter 13, verse 36, he quieted all the people. He said, "Keep quiet, all of you." He says, "Let us go up at once." Everyone say, "At once." If you want to go up in the promise of God, don't wait till tomorrow, right? Don't wait till afterwards. Don't wait till next week. Go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. I like this thing about Caleb very much. That's why I wanted to, you know, if we had a son, we are calling Caleb. Because here's a man who says, "I can. We can do it." Today we live in a world where many people say, "Cannot," right? "Cannot do this, cannot that," cannot give you 1,001 reasons. But you know, God is looking for someone with a different spirit. Someone who says, "You know what? It can be done. It can be done," right? 2018 is no different. You will face many obstacles. Every year we are facing obstacles. Every year we have prognosticators of bad economy, hard times, difficult things, bad weather, climate change. Every year you're facing things. You can't change those things, but what you can change is your own attitude towards these things, right? You say, "In God, we can do this," right? We are well able to overcome this. The opposite of having this positive attitude is to have what I call a naysayer attitude. You know what's the naysayer, right? Naysayer is someone who says nay, right? But nay is just like old English word of saying no. Nay, nay. Okay, means no, no. Okay, right? Nay, don't do that. Okay. So, there are some people who's by nature like to say no. Whatever you tell them, cannot lah. Too difficult lah. See, this cannot, that cannot. You know, want to go evangelism? Nay lah, you know. How about you share the gospel to your family? No lah, my parents won't like it. You know, you always say no. Their whole life will be dominated by no, right? Many of us, unfortunately, have this spirit of naysayer. Right? We need to, this year, change to become someone like Caleb, right? Someone with a good followership of God. Instead, we allow our fears, our worries, our anxieties to produce in us all kinds of excuses and reasons. What about this? What about that? What if it goes wrong? What if it fails? What if we are in the wrong place? What if it doesn't work? What if? And slowly your faith, whatever is left of it, will be whittled down until there's nothing left of your faith. And then instead you have all these phantoms and imaginary dangers occupying your mind instead of faith. Ultimately, we are afraid to pay the price. Right? We don't want to fight. We just hope that people will give it to us. Caleb would not allow the spirit of a naysayer to stop him or even to slow him down. So right now, this very moment, let us go up and let's take possession of the land. And I think the reason Caleb was different from all the others is because of this. It comes down to this. Caleb already decided. He wasn't still deciding. He already made up his mind. I am a follower of God. And whatever the cost, whatever it takes, whatever happens, whatever the outcome, I'm already going in. He made up his mind already. Whereas the other people, they haven't made up their mind. They're still testing the waters. You know, they go up to the swimming pool. You know, sometimes you go to the swimming pool, right? And You know, we are all told we must swim, exercise. You know, go in the water, why put one toe in, oh cool, don't have to swim already, right? I think I'll suntan instead. Sometimes we are like this, right? And many Christians, their attitude with faith is also like this. I want to follow God, but you know, I haven't really made up my mind yet, right? So I'm just going there and I'm not going to jump all in, right? Obviously, you jump all in, then it's too late, right? You jump in the water, then you jump right out again, you're already wet already. So what you do is put one leg in first, you know. I'll just see whether God is good or not, right? And you're testing God. See whether God is going to do something, in case God does something you don't want, right? So Lord, I'm going to follow you. Oh, wait, why are you going this side? Okay, I want to go this side. So many of us, we have a tentative attitude towards following God. Instead of throwing in your whole heart, your whole weight, we put in only one leg, right? We only put in one leg. And we hope, we sort of like, in case God does something unpredictable, we can still bail out, right? Don't do this. Okay? When you jump in with both feet. Give your all. Throw in your lot completely. Whatever the outcome may be, whatever the result may be, you decided in your heart, you're already going to follow God wholeheartedly. You know, there's a story about this general. His name was General Cortez. And they were marching on the city of Mexico. I got no time to check. But it's one of the South American cities, right? And he came with all his army on their ships, on this old Spanish galleons in 1918 something. They landed on the beach, and then he sent all his men to burn down all the ships. Right? Before they march onto the city. Of course, the man was thinking, why are you burning all the ships? How are we going to escape? You know, there's no escape. You either conquer or you die. This is known as burning the bridges, right? Or burning your ships. Many of us, we need to have this attitude in our followership of God. There's no retreat one. There's no plan B. It's God or nothing else. That was Caleb. Caleb was a man who did not put one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God, and try to hedge his bets to see which one works out. If you know physics at all, you know very likely you end up in neither boats, you end up in the water, right? So very often in our own Christian life, to be like Caleb is to make up your mind, decide whom you will serve. If God is God, then follow God. Amen? You need to decide. You want to follow God, throw your whole lot in. Don't put a bit and I'll see how it works out, right? Faith, trust. Okay, so, be wholehearted like Caleb. The second thing that we can learn from this top dog, okay, he held on to God's promise tenaciously. Remember, they didn't manage to go in because of this bad report. The people all decided not to go in, so he didn't get to go in, right? So he had to travel with them and wander the wilderness with them. And after a long time, in Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, he comes up to Joshua. He says to Joshua, now this was when they were about to enter the second time. He says to Joshua, you know, the word which the Lord said to the man, to Moses, the man of God, concerning me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old. So back then he was a young man, 40 years old, right? And when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went out with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord. I followed completely. I gave my all. I threw it. I didn't reserve anything. I put everything. So Moses swore to me that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord. That's the formula there. Wholly followed the Lord. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. He said, as he said, all these 45 years. So now how much time has transpired? 45 years on now, right? I mean, that was 45 years ago. And the Lord has spoken, since the Lord spoke this word to Moses and Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now, here I am this day, 85 years old. So this one was an old man now, okay? His hair was white, you know, his skin wrinkled. I mean, he was probably walking a little bit slow. And he says this, and yet, I am as strong this day as the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. And therefore, give me this mountain, of which the Lord spoke that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were the giants, right? So that mountain that he wanted is the one with the giants. And the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord says. 45 years and this guy is still hanging on to the promise of God. You see that? I mean, most of us, don't say 45 years, don't say 4 years. Some of us, 4 hours already is a hard tall order already, right? God, please help me. After 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, don't have, you're going home already, right? But Caleb, This guy sticks around for 45 years. And the reason why he stuck around for 45 years, I mean, you got to understand, this is not just any ordinary 45 years. It's ordinary, it's 45 years hanging around a whole bunch of people who didn't believe. Naysayers. Everywhere I turn, people say, "Aiyah, forget it, like Caleb. It's not going to happen. Caleb, you might as well settle down and do something else. Caleb, we are already too old. Caleb, it cannot be done. Caleb, the giants are getting even bigger. 40 years ago, they were so big. Now they are that much bigger, right? Caleb, now we are much weaker. Before that, we are 600,000 people. Now only 40,000 people left. Caleb, all cannot. Imagine hanging around. Many of us, we allow these kind of things to get you down, isn't it? You hang around people who say cannot. After a while, you also start to say cannot. But Caleb, 45 years of hanging around these kind of people, and he says, give me this mountain. I mean, that's something, okay? That is really something. The reason why he could stay is because he says, you know, the word which Yehovah, the Bible has a capital L-O-R-D there, Lord, but actually the words, you know the word which Yehovah said to Moses. All Caleb had was the word of God. He didn't have dreams, he didn't have visions. As far as we know, there were no miracles that happened for him. There was nobody around to encourage him. There were no pastors to tell him, Caleb, keep it up, right? All he had was the word of God. And he hung on to the word of God. Caleb didn't know. He didn't know how long they were going to be in the promised land. Nobody knew. Could have been 5 days, could have been 5 years, could have been 10 years, 15 years. Nobody knew. And this guy, he just stuck to it. He has this thing called stickability. In our house, we always got stickers, right? There's some stickers, after you keep for a few years, they start to peel off. They're not sticky anymore. This guy, he has stickability. He keeps sticking air. No matter how many times you use it, he doesn't harden some with blue tech. After a while, we harden by a rock like this. Okay, he has a stickability. You and I, we need to be able to stick to the Lord no matter what. Amen? Amen. So since the year of the dog, let me tell you about a sticky dog, okay? Since my daughter just came back from Japan, you know, in Japan, there's a very famous crossing known as the Shibuya Crossing. Right? Shibuya Crossing, you've probably seen videos or photos about this. Once the traffic light changed, all these people just swarm this crossing, you know. And it's quite fun to stick around there. And I've been there several times, right? Just look at people cross the road. But outside, Shibuya Crossing is just outside of the Shibuya train station. If you go there today, you find that there's a bronze statue there. A statue of a dog called Hachiko, right? And Hachiko, I'll tell you the story of Hachiko. In 1924, a lecturer by the name of Hidesaburo Ueno, right? He acquired a dog, an Akita dog, and this dog would, he would just go to work every morning, and every evening when he came back at the train station, his dog, Hachiko, would go to the train station to greet him, to wait for him, right? So it is 1924. After about 1 year, right? One day, 1925, he goes to work in the morning and he never comes back. Because while lecturing, he has a heart attack, he dies. That evening, Hachiko, as he always does, trots out to the station in the evening at the time when the train will arrive. The train arrived. His master never showed up. The dog waited and waited and waited. Finally, went home. The next day, evening, same train, the dog came again and waited and waited and waited. Master never came. The following day, the train came again. The dog came once more. How long do you think the dog waited? 9 years, 9 months, and 15 days until he was found dead in the streets of Shibuya. This dog came every single day. In spring, in summer, in autumn, and winter. In sun, in rain, in snow. That's why I picked this picture. Where's the picture? There, that picture, right? It's waiting. I mean, 9 years is a long time to wait. Don't you agree? I mean, if anything, this dog has a value called loyalty. And that's what we are talking about in this guy Caleb. This was a man who was loyal to a fault in God. No matter what you throw at him. And you know, dogs are not like cats, you know? Okay? I don't know about you. Dogs, no matter what you do to them, they just love you. They come back, they're first to greet you. And cats, you look for the cat. Where did the cat go? Right? You were loyal to the cat, but the dog is loyal to you, right? So this Hachiko, I mean, he was like faithful. He was just sticking no matter what until, even when the master doesn't show up, you know, we need to learn something. This year of dog, you got to learn to follow God like that. Even when everything else don't look like it, you are still sticking to God. Amen? Amen? I was going to say, turn to your neighbor and say, be like a dog. Okay, don't do that. Okay, but be like Hachiko. Okay, be like Hachiko. Okay, so, I mean, this is actually, you know what? Many times when we look at this story, by the way, they made several movies out of this story, right? And they can't take it. We can't take it. How guys? In fact, in Japan today, there's a new statue of Hachiko reunited with the master. Basically, no one can stand it anymore. Poor dog, they cannot stand it anymore. Okay, we made one statue, we reunite with the master, right? Okay, so anyway, this is something. I mean, one day, Jesus is going to come, right? When he comes, he should find you waiting for him. Amen? He don't find you, oh, I didn't know you come, I gave up already, right? I ran off and gallivant around, do other things. No, he finds us waiting. Blessed are those who, when the Lord comes, he finds you waiting, right? Like the parable of the virgins, remember? Waiting for the master, rather than falling asleep, right? So, okay, the next point we want to go, okay, so stickability, very important. Okay, Caleb says, look, I'm as strong this day as I was when Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then. Now I'm 85 years old, right? My strength for war is still here, both for going in and coming out. How did he do this? I mean, he didn't just sit around and wait, you know, right? What was his secret of being strong? The secret is going to the gym, okay? For 45 years. Okay, I mean, that's like analogic, alright? Many people, when they're waiting for God, they do nothing. They sit around, they let go. Let go, alright? Starting the time, you want to stay fit, you know, when you go in army, NS and all that, right? But after NS, what happened? Most people double in size, right? We start to let go. We stop exercising, we stop staying fit, right? You see bakwan, you eat bakwan. This is a seafood diet, right? You see pineapple tart, you eat pineapple tarts, right? There's a problem in my house now. Pineapple tarts disappearing. So, you know, Caleb was able to maintain his faithfulness to God because he was staying ready. He didn't know whether... He knows that they're going to go in the promised land because God promised, right? The word of the Yahuwah to Joshua said, you will inherit. So in his mind, he knows it's going to happen. He just doesn't know when it's going to happen, right? So if you don't know when it's going to happen, what will you do? You stay fit, right? You keep yourself ready. Because the fight could be tomorrow, the fight could be next year. You know what? He didn't let himself go and start get distracted with all kinds of things. He kept himself ready so that whenever the fight comes, say, I'm ready. I'm ready to take the land now. Right? Let's go up at once and take possession. He didn't have to, give me 5 months to get into shape because now we're going to go to war, right? This guy, you can infer, he probably kept himself ready, in a state of readiness all these 45 years. I mean, that is something, right? For us to stay faithful to God, to be successful in our walk with God, the worst thing you can do is to do nothing. Many times we wait for God. I'm waiting for God. What are you doing while we're... No, nothing. I'm just waiting for God. That's the worst thing you can do, right? An idle mind is the devil's workshop, is what they often say, right? Don't do nothing in your life. Rather, invest your life. Apply yourself to doing the right things. Jesus told this parable in Matthew chapter 12. He says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes into wanders in dry places seeking rest and finds none. And then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. He comes home, he finds that it's empty, swept, and put in order, because spring cleaning and Chinese New Year, am I right? So he goes in and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and enters and dwells there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first state. First, and so shall it be with this wicked generation. Basically, if you do not fill your life with good things, with godly things, very quickly it will be filled with other things. With these distractions, with things that distract you, that divert you from God's plan for your life. It is important for us, as part of our spiritual discipline and staying fit, okay? Now, staying fit physically is the same thing, right? You got to go and exercise, right? Thinking about exercising doesn't... You know, right? Many years ago, I read this article. They say, thinking about running is almost as good as running. I don't believe it. Because if that were the case, now I'll be some super runner already, right? We would like to believe that thinking about it... Okay, listen. Thinking about obeying God is not the same as obeying God, right? We would like to believe that because it's so much easier to just think about it, right? Now, if this is true of the physical, it's true of the spiritual as well. Just thinking about serving God is not going to help you. You have to do the very things. And it begins with the very small things. You know, the first thing that we do when we start to let go, we start to become complacent. First thing that go usually is reading the Bible. And most of us got multiple Bible in the house, but we got no time, right? In fact, most of us have Bible in your phone nowadays. I know, right? Because in church, everyone using phone. I'm sure you're reading your Bible and not checking, you know, Twitter or something else, right? And then you go to the toilet and you say, you know, I'm going to be in this toilet. I might as well read the Bible. So that's thinking. You open up your phone. Boom, got one Instagram message there. Then someone posted some picture of pineapple tarts. Someone posted. Then next thing you flip. Half an hour in the toilet. Instead of reading the Bible, you take Instagram pictures, selfies and all this thing, right? Oh, just the top part, you know. So, then we get distracted. You started with a good intention, right? But because you did not feel it with the determination to do it, what happened? That all the other things were occupied. So, first thing that usually goes is, didn't read the Bible. Then praying. Okay lah, I say grace, Lord. Yeah. You start to let go of all these things. You know what? If you do this, you will definitely backslide. You will not be able to be like Hachiko, right? You will not be able to sustain your faith for the duration of the race. So you cannot complete the race. It is important for us to apply ourselves, to be single-minded, but also to apply yourself consistently. So as you go back through this year, that mezuzah is to remind you to constantly apply yourself. Don't just start well. Constantly apply yourself. Keep yourself in shape. As you do it physically, keep yourself in shape spiritually, right? Now, those people who want to exercise, you know that half the time losing weight is not about how much you exercise. Half the time losing weight is not eating rubbish. Do you know that? 80% about losing weight is not eating nonsense. You know why people work so hard now? They exercise so hard so that they can counter their eating of rubbish. Right? You eat one pineapple tart, you say, never mind, tomorrow I'll exercise. Right? You eat two pineapple tart, I'll exercise more. Actually, the best is don't eat the things that you have to exercise to in the first place, right? Spiritually, it's the same. If you fill your life with things that are non-spiritual, well, guess what's going to happen? You're just going to feed the non-spiritual, and the non-spiritual will grow in your life. So if you want to be faithful to the Lord, then fill your lives, invest your lives in things of God, right? The little things, don't neglect going to church. Don't neglect reading the Bible. Don't neglect, you know, praying. Don't neglect serving the Lord. These things were, though small, they actually help you to stay the course. Amen? Right? So stay the course. So in the same way, we are called to be faithful in our pursuit of God, in the face of delays, in the face of temptations, in the face of suffering and disappointment, in the face of discouragement, to keep sticking onto our hope through rain or through sunshine, just like Hachiko. There's something else to be said about this loyalty, right? And this comes from a very unusual story that I have never heard anyone preach about this in Jeremiah 35. See, in Jeremiah 35, there's a group of people known as the Rechabites. These Rechabites, they're not Israelites either, they're a bunch of Gentiles, right? Now what happened was that they were invited to drink wine. The Rechabites says, oh sorry, we can't drink wine. They say, you know, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, you shall drink no wine. Now, these guys, very obedient to their ancestor. Right? Imagine your ancestor told you, no bakwa. Will you eat bakwa? Of course you will eat bakwa. We're Chinese, we'll eat anything, right? No matter who says what, we still eat it. But these guys, their ancestors say, no wine, not only no wine, right? You nor your sons forever, you shall not build a house, sow seed, plant vineyards, nor have any of this, but all your days you shall dwell in tents. In other words, you shall be nomads forever. Don't buy a house. You shall be no... So very strange, this nomadic tribe of the Rechabites in the Bible, they're mentioned here, right? That they will not drink wine, they will not build houses, they... All because... Somewhere along the line, long ago, one of their forefathers, Jonadab, told them, don't do this. Okay? So they refused to do this. Now, what makes this story so interesting for us is because afterwards, God makes a mention about this bunch of people, right? God says in Jeremiah 35 verse 14, says, the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. So God noticed that these Gentiles, you know, wow, their fathers say don't, they really don't. God noticed that they performed it, right? For to this day, they drink none and obey their father's commandment. And then Jeremiah, speaking the word of God to this Rechabite, says to the house, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab, your father, not the commandment of God, commandment of Jonadab, and kept all his precepts and done according to all this Gentile man has told you, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. In other words, the Rechabites, these Gentile Rechabites, will always have a place before God. There are only three people, two more other than this, who got such a promise. One of them is David. God promised David, there will always be a man from David's house to stand before me. The other one is Aaron. When you get to heaven, in front of the throne of God, you see David there, you wave to David. You see Aaron there, you wave to Aaron. Then you see this other guy there. Who is this fellow? Rechabites. Jonadab. Okay? Jonadab, they're not even Israelites. And yet, they got this promise. Now, what was God rewarding them for? Not for keeping the law, because they're Gentiles. Right? They're not rewarded for obeying God. They're rewarded for obeying their father. In other words, God was rewarding their attitude of loyalty. It's very unusual. Most of the times in the Bible, someone is rewarded for obeying God. Here, God is actually rewarding for an attitude of loyalty. Right? Everyone say loyalty. So, loyalty is actually wholeheartedness. Right? In fact, some Bible translations, JPSS, will translate Caleb as wholeheartedly following as being loyal. And today, you know, I guess the last thing I really want to say is that as you think about dogs and year of dog, the quality of dogs is actually they're very loyal. They're really loyal. Right? Just like this Rechabites. And God rewards an attitude of loyalty. Today in our world, we don't like to talk about loyalty because, you know, the world today is just shot through with so many scandals. We almost cannot trust anybody, right? Such that we don't want to give our loyalty or allegiance to anybody. And yet, for God, He is a God who not only demands our loyalty, He's a God who is loyal to us. In fact, you know the word loyal in Hebrew is sometimes also translated as chesed, which means loving kindness. God always has His loving kindness towards us. That's why in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 13, it says that if we are not faithful, God remains faithful to us. Do you know that? That's loyalty, right? So we are called to exhibit our loyalty to God, especially in this year. But not just loyalty to God. We also should have loyalty to one another. Because we are all in the same family. Amen? Now, this is the part that, you know, sometimes people are not very good at. Many Christians are ignorant of this fact. They think they are all only called to be loyal to God. So, when it comes to their fellow Christians, you know, the way we treat one another, inshallah, I mean, with friends like this, who needs enemies, right, sometimes, right? So, the way you see Christians treat Christians, sometimes is really quite terrible, right? I mean, you know, you go to war, right? They see, they got gun, they see their, I don't like you, You know, you do like this, you don't need to fight enemy already, kill each other already, right? And really, that's the way so many Christians behave. Do we have differences? Of course, but it's very important. To exercise loyalty, you must know who are your enemies and who are your friends, right? You look around this room, these are all your friends. Take a good look, recognize it, don't anyhow shoot, okay? And that's precisely the problem. Friendly fire also kill people, right? I don't like any kind of friendly or unfriendly fire also I don't want, right? So in the house of God, we are not only to exhibit loyalty to God, we're supposed to exhibit loyalty to one another. Be kind. How do we express our loyalty to one another in 2018? Well, other than being kind to one another, think the best thoughts to one another. Give each other the benefit of the doubt. Many of us are very judgmental. We don't give people the benefit of the doubt. We don't like, you know. Every time we see each other, quasi me, you know, want to power. So, you know, this is, want to fight. So, that's, you know, listen, you're in the house of God. This is your family. Be gracious towards one another. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Why are you so quick to judge, right? My name, Daniel. God is judge, right? Daniel means God is judge, right? God is our judge. We don't have to judge each other. If you don't judge, don't worry, God will still judge one. But sometimes we are so quick to, that's lack of loyalty, right? Don't speak poorly of one another. Many times we speak poorly of one another, right? We like to tear people down. When we cannot get up there, what do? You tear people down here, you know? You cannot reach people's standard, bring everyone down to your standard. So we busy tear people down because of our own insecurity. Don't do this kind of thing. That's not loyalty, right? Loyalty is that you want each other to succeed. If people around you succeed, good. We are in the same boat. Your success is also our success ultimately. Because we belong to the same body. Amen? When one part rejoice, all rejoice together. Right? So don't bad mouth. In fact, I'll go as far as to say, don't only refrain from saying bad things about people. Right? When you come to God's presence, you don't just refrain from saying bad things about God. God, you are not bad. Nobody ever prays God this way. You say something positive, right? So you got negative, neutral, and positive. Many people, we actually don't like each other very much. So we try to refrain from going to the negative. We stay in the neutral. Actually, we are supposed to go to the positive. So not only, you know, the best counter to gossiping is to say good things about people. You want to stop gossiping, you force yourself to say good things about people. You got nothing good to say, don't say anything, right? That's the problem. A lot of people don't say anything because they got nothing good to say, right? But for us, you must say good things about one another. But many of us, we cannot do that. We allow our differences, right? Our petty differences to become bigger. In other words, we have no loyalty, lah. Put it very simple, right? So, you want to talk about the year of the dog? He said, loving kindness towards one another, right? Stop bad-mouthing one another. Say good things about one another. Hope for each other's success. Root for each other's success. Thinking the best about one another, this is what people of covenant do for one another. That's why it's good to be in the house of God when it all works. When it all works, right? When friendly fire come, take cover. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, it says, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This is the people of covenant who sticks closer than a brother, right? So may 2018, the year of the dog, be a year in which we learn loyalty, stickability, faithfulness, and commitment, right? Wholehearted commitment to the Lord. Amen. So that we can all enter into God's inheritance for us. Let me close with this verse. Joshua chapter 14, verse 14, it says, Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day. It's a perpetual inheritance because he wholly followed the Lord, or he was loyal to the Lord. So today, in the year of the dog, a lot of good things to learn from this dog, okay? From Caleb. That we can all emulate, that to be successful this year, change our attitude. Look to the front, say yes you can. Don't be fearful, and allow God to lead you in His promises. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, we thank you for this year of the dog. Actually, we thank you for every year, but Lord, this year, we thank you that, you know, you're doing so many things. And Lord, we want to finish this race. We have decided. We make up our minds that no matter what happens, we're going to go through with this, right? So we might as well go through it with it well. Give us a positive attitude, Lord. Attitude of faith and commitment, wholeheartedness, not undecided testing. Let us be people who are wholehearted in following you, Lord. Let us be loyal to you. Through thick and thin, through the seasons of the year, through rain and shine, even snow, help us to be loyal, faithful to you. Hang on just because your word says so. Father, finally, help us to be loyal to one another, Lord, as we build up a wonderful church for the work that lays before us. Bless us all in this year. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Let's stand together. We'll sing this closing song, right? You're my God. think we are your dog, so you know. So I suppose this year, but you know, let's pray that God will help us to have these qualities. All right, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. Your loving kindness towards us never fails, and Father, we pray our faith and our obedience to you will not fail either, Lord. Give us your grace, a grace that will be sufficient for every season of our lives. And now, Lord, as we go from this place to be with our families, may your blessing, the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with all of us now and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Happy New Year, all of you. God bless you, and I'll see you back next week, all right?
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.